to come to Vancouver via Warren Tallman and Ellen Tallman.
Ellen Tallman, yeah.
And Jack Spicer was coming up here and delivering his famous lectures. The poet is a radio tuned to a station from Mars and what have you. And is drinking himself to death. Spicer is given an offer to teach Simon Fraser.
Yes.
He ends up not being able to take on that job.
Yeah.
It falls in Blazer's lap. And to decide whether or not to come to Vancouver, he does divination.
Yes, with a kankusha. Yes. Well, I think that San Francisco was burning out for him. You think about what had just gone down there, fighting with Duncan.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
That's right, yeah. Sometimes in conversation he would say, you know, Duncan wanted to drive me out of San Francisco and he succeeded. Now, I don't take that very literally. I don't take that as, you know, Duncan's well-thought-out aim. And I don't take it that Robin would leave, even if it were, which I don't think it is. But it was just that things had gone dead, you know, that the scene itself that he was a part of there that had brought him back to San Francisco in the first place, that he was still excited about when he was in Boston and missing when he was in Boston. No, it wasn't. It had already begun to vanish, you know, by the when Spicer died, that was it. The Spicer circle was not there.
You say in the book, his Boston time, he's not into the drugs and the bohemia and all that. And that's what really was coming in with the hippies and psychedelics and what have you. And that wasn't Robin's thing.
It wasn't Robin's thing. And they weren't beats either. They didn't think they were beats anyway, you know. I think there was a lot of coterie going on. There was this little group and that little group, and their little group was not the City Lights little group. You know, so,
right.
Yeah. I mean, from a distance, it looks a little bit like, you know, well, you guys are more alike than you're different. But I think at the time, especially with Spicer as deeply into his druthers as he was, you know, you can't go past Van Ness Street, that's Duncan territory. No, I won't go to the Buzz Gallery, that's in Duncan territory. You know, that sort of thing. That kind of very small
territorialism,
mm-hmm. you know, the extreme local that Spicer got into, that was, you know, that wasn't Robin. I mean, that was not his view of things.
And so the divination tells him to take the job. Do you remember the story exactly?
Yes. Yeah, I do. That he was, you know, because Spicer had died in 65, and he had the feud on with Duncan. This had gone down right after he read Les Chimères at the 1965 Poetry Festival at Berkeley. And disagreements had started after that. So, you know, things were, the old companions were not really there anymore for him. And he split up with Jim Felt, so there was no continuity there.
That was his first lover.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, partner.
Partner, yeah. Right. And then and Stan Persky was young and able to move and willing, and so, you know, the job was there. Plus there was Blanche, as I have that section on Blanche Janssen, right? So I think that he was probably interested in getting away from her.
Blanche was trying to convince Robin to play for the other team.
She certainly was. I think I can imagine how annoying that would have been to have somebody say, oh, well, you just don't understand what a good woman can do for you when you're really, you know, not interested. Like, what part of not interested don't you get? Yeah. You know? So, yeah.
But this divination method is using a Japanese English dictionary.
That's right.
A specific edition.
Only the second edition is understood to have divinatory powers. Yes.
And so here's his interest in the occult in operation in his life. Mm-hmm. And it says in the book, one of Jack's illness and the kankusha replies, a main attack, a frontal attack. Yeah. And shall I pick Vancouver? And he gets an approved lodging house.
Yes.
So, and he takes this as a sign, and he's like, yeah, okay, I'll go.
He called the movers, he says. That's the way he liked to tell the story. I called the movers. Stan, we're going. But it was a convergence of all these factors, yeah? Right. The job offer, the San Francisco scene. And he did say frequently in conversation, he was tired of the San Francisco bickering. He was tired of the poetry bickering that went on. It didn't suit his personality. And, you know, he had the most middle-class job of either the Duncan or Spicer circles, and he was lampooned for it. So I think he was just, you know, enough already. He took the job as a one-year possibility. He still kept his San Francisco State Library possibility, as, you know, open, the job mm-hmm. open. He took a year's leave of absence. He could have gone back, but Simon Fraser suited him, and he stayed.
And he becomes a very popular professor.
Very popular professor, yes. I think that was, you know, legendary in the 60s when he moved out. He had a lot of cachet. SFU had its radical moment, and I think emphasize moment, because I don't think it didn't last that long, but it was a radical campus for a little while. And there he was, you know, he had all this erudition and charm, and he'd come from San Francisco, and that's, as all of us Canadians knew, is where you had flowers in your hair. And so, why not? That was really something. So, Tom Grieve, for instance, who was one of the first wave of students that went through his classes, said that, you know, his classes would be jammed. People would sit on the floor. They'd come and sit there, even if they weren't enrolled in the class. So universities were
a little different
for that moment. Yeah, they were a happening place, and right. This was where you wanted to be.
Right. And he suggests that the Special Collections Library specialize in Beat and Black Mountain literature.
Well, Ralph Mott had already started that. So Ralph was very interested, and Ralph Mott, maybe I'll just say this for the tape, was a, you know, Harvard graduate, Dylan Thomas. And so his dissertation was on Dylan Thomas, and Dylan Thomas gets him the job. He worked at SUNY, but at SUNY Buffalo he met Olson, and he switched his attentions to Olson, but he was formidable. Ralph was really formidable in terms of his scholarship. He went after somebody, he'd go after them. So he was hired in 1965. He was the absolute first range hire, you know? Right at the beginning when the university opened. So Ralph is there, and of course his intention is to build a library collection that is based on the NAP, the New American Poetry. And he saw in Robin a natural ally, because Robin had library training, he'd worked at Harvard, he had an MLS in library science, and there he was. You know, he knew the San Francisco people, he knew Olson, and so Ralph recruited him right away for the library committee. And really, Simon Fraser has a very, very good collection.
W.C. Bennett Library.
Yes, W.C. Bennett Library.
W.C. Bennett.
Yeah, W.A.C. No, W.A.C., you're right. Yeah. W.A.C. We called him Wacky Bennett. Back in the
day. I didn't know that. Beautiful library. Our collection. And with Michael McClure's mm-hmm. Work.
Mm-hmm. It's got a lot. There is a lot. I really want to give Special Collections a plug. I don't think people know how much stuff is up there.
Amiel Al-Khaleh found out in a hurry by finding, rediscovering Mary Norbert Cordy.
Yeah.
And publishing in his series, The mm-hmm. Lost and Found, her responses to Ghost Tantras, written in the marginalia of her copy of the book that she sent to McClure.
Yeah.
Far out.
Yeah. There is a lot of small press material up there, Canadian and American, you know, dating from, roundabout mid-century forward. Mm-hmm. That was the mandate of Special Collections, to collect that contemporary stuff, and they did.
They've done well. And Tony Power and Charles Watts.
Charles Watts.
And Tony Power continue to make that a very special place.
Charles died, you know, in 98.
Right.
Yeah,
but he was the main guy in that library for a while. One of the main people.
Yeah, Priscilla Groves, too. Mm-hmm. Priscilla Groves had you know, a librarian in Special Collections, and very, very friendly to Robin.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember Purse running that library. As a matter of fact, one of the things she did for Robin was keep a little ashtray just for him in Special Collections, if you can get your mind around that. In these days of you can't smoke anywhere.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
I even remember that it was green with a floral design.
How about that?
Yeah.
Did you get a picture of it?
No, I should have. It wasn't extraordinary when it was extant, you know. It wasn't as strange as it is now.